May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 773. If unbelief's that sin accursed, abhorred by God above, because of all opposers worst, it fights against his love. 773.
from the Holy Word of God, from the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 14, from verse 1 to verse 24. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, commencing at the first verse. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him, come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray indeed for thy help now, for thy strengthening, thine upholding, as we come before thee. O Lord, we are unworthy of thy mercy, but thy grace, and thy mercies, how great. Thy mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And O Lord, our hope is in thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do thank thee that we have so great a name as Jesus, yet one who has respect unto the lowly, those that are afar off, those that are in great need, those that are even in the low dungeon, that are in the mire, that, O Lord, thou dost come to deliver such, the poor and the needy, the beggars, the maimed, the blind. O Lord, indeed, we do pray that thou mightest help us. O Lord, how we do need thy help, how we do need thy strengthening, thine upholding. O Lord, grant us of thy grace, we pray, that outpouring and anointing of the Spirit, as we come to thy word, come to the ministry of thy word. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest appear for us. O Lord, do reveal thy love, reveal thy holiness, reveal thy beauty, we do pray. O Lord, indeed, we do thank thee that thou hast brought us safely here. And O Lord, do grant us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And O Lord, that thou would speak into our souls, into our hearts. Do lead us in that way everlasting, we pray. Do indeed be with the friends here. O Lord, do be with the brethren at the desk. Do, O Lord, we be with the deacons to help them, to strengthen them, to bless them, and the church, we do pray. Do grant that there may be that godly increase granted, a building up in the most holy faith. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with the children and the young people, the little ones. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. And O Lord, that there are many children and young people here. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst bless them, keep them, preserve them. Lead them in that way everlasting. Teach them by thy gracious hand. Bless them in their souls. Grant them that encouragement and help. We, your parents, do grant us that wisdom in bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of thy holy name. O Lord, in such an evil day, oh, we do need thy grace that we may redeem the time, for the days are evil. O Lord, look in mercy upon us to help us. Grant us each that steadfastness, that spiritual strength to stand in the evil day. O Lord, do deliver us from drifting into error, heresy, worldliness, carnality. But, O Lord, draw us by thy love and thy mercy, O Lord Jesus Christ. Do grant us that holy zeal to say, like the newborn Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? O Lord, indeed, that we may come with that heartfelt spiritual desire to know thy will and to do it. O Lord, do bless any that are, and do help any that are in trouble, in pain or affliction, any that are unable to come to thy house through sickness or infirmity or caring for others. O Lord, we do pray for them to help them. Do, O Lord, be with those that are in trouble, especially in soul trouble. Thou mightest speak unto them and say, I am thy salvation. O Lord, if there be any that are unconcerned, whether here or could be here, but the love of other things or whatever matters have intervened, and they're not coming to thy house. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to bring them into that place of true repentance. Bring them to truly seek thee, to truly know thee, to truly worship thee. O Lord, if there be any here that are in the burdened over their sins, longing that they may know thee, to hear thy words, O Lord, do speak unto their soul, we do pray, and grant them that glorious deliverance and that felt liberty in the gospel. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with us, the churches, wherever thy people gather together, that thou wouldst bless them to help them, be with thy servants that do preach this day, to uphold them, especially those in trouble, in distress, or in weakness or sickness, cast down, tempted, reproached. O Lord, do grant them that help. Grant them that upholding, that strengthening most needful. Do, O Lord, grant that there may be a sending forth of more labourers. O thou who art the Lord of the harvest, send forth more labourers into the harvest, we pray. Do, O Lord, be with one's own pastor at Chippenham, and to help him and strengthen him, our brother Jonathan in the ministry. Do help him, and as he is due, if it be thy will to be here in the coming Lord's day, do bless him and strengthen him. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to bless thy word as it goes forth to the four corners of this earth. Grant, O Lord, that help the Trinitarian Bible Society and all others who would translate and publish thy precious word, that, O Lord, that there may be that light and liberty granted by the Spirit as thy word shines forth. Do, O Lord, provide that which is needed, all needed provision, all needed grace. And, O Lord, we do pray in our own land that there might be that thirst once more for thy word. O Lord, do deliver us from those who would seek to overthrow our liberty of worship, overthrow our liberty to teach the children according to thy word. And, O Lord, we would pray that thou wouldst appear to, O Lord, guide and direct our Prime Minister and government. O Lord, look in mercy, we pray. O Lord, do grant mercy and help and grace upon our Queen and royal family. And, O Lord, now we do pray, help us as we are before thee, O Lord, who art the King of kings and Lord of lords, that we may come before thee with holy reverence and godly fear. But, O Lord, do grant us that joy and peace in believing, we pray, by the Spirit. For, O Lord, thou art the good shepherd, the faithful, compassionate, merciful high priest. And now, O Lord, grant us thy help. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 240. What various ways do men invent to give the conscience ease? Some say believe and some repent, and some say strive to please. But brethren, Christ and Christ alone can rightly do the thing, nor ever can the way be known till he salvation bring. 240.
May the Lord help us in coming to his holy word. And I'd particularly direct you to the chapter we read, Luke chapter 14, and the last few words in verse 22. Luke chapter 14 and the last few words in verse 22. And yet there is room. The whole verse reads, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. Those words, and yet there is room. It's very short, very small number of words, but how great the blessing there is in the gospel in such words, and yet there is room. Indeed, a gospel invitation and encouragement there is here, as we'll see to come to with this parable. As we seek by the Lord's help to explain, to set forth of what this parable teaches, who indeed it speaks of, where this room is made, how it is made, and who it is who is made a blessed partaker of that room. And yet, there is room. Well, we see in this part of God's holy word, our Lord Jesus Christ. He went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. And that they watched him. They were not watching our Lord in that, looking unto Jesus by faith, looking unto a Saviour, looking unto one who they loved, looking unto one who could help them, have mercy upon them, deliver them. No. They were there looking to find fault. They watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. There was this man that had dropsy. A very distressing disease, or symptoms of a disease, where one's body, as it were, fills up with fluid. Very distressing, painful, disfiguring. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. For the Lord showed forth his mercy, his compassion upon that man, and he healed him. And then our Lord spake a parable concerning those who were bidden, those who were invited to the feast. How he noticed how they chose out the chief rooms, the chief places. There the Pharisees, the lawyers would come and say, ah, that's a great place, that's surely for me. And our Lord then taught concerning that need of the grace of humility. That he giveth grace unto the humble, but the proud kept afar off. The Lord indeed has mercy upon and shows grace to the humble. And thus, when we consider this text, and yet there is room. Indeed, that room is for the humble, for the poor and the needy. For whosoever exalteth him shall be abased. Exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then our Lord spake concerning that need of compassion upon the poor and the maimed, the lame, the blind. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. See, what a contrast to the Pharisees' feast. There is a display of love and compassion to those who are absolutely destitute. Then we read, and one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now we come to the parable, to the subject of our text. And here our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching concerning that kingdom of God. How it is that we might come to that feast where indeed there is a blessing. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But as we compare with the preceding verses, in verses 12 to 14, we see there that this feast that is spread, this heavenly one concerning the kingdom of God, indeed we are elsewhere referred to as the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb, that great feast, speaking of heaven, when there's a gathering together of the true church, of every kindred, tribe, tongue, nation, of every age from Adam and Eve to the end of time, gathered together in union with Christ, to be with him eternally, their sins washed away, their clothed in the glorious robes, that fine linen, clean, pure, white, just the righteousness of saints, the righteousness of Christ. But we see that it is a display of love and mercy and compassion. How indeed unworthy, undeserving, the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Yet it is a work of pure grace and mercy. But as we come to this parable of the great supper, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. See, we must inquire of whom is referred to here. We have a similar parable in Matthew's Gospel. It's not the same, but similar. It has some differences, some similarities. But firstly, we have here a certain man and his servant. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. Indeed, surely this speaks, his servant is Christ. We read indeed in Scripture, that title given in prophecy of Isaiah, not once, but twice. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. God the Father speaks concerning his beloved Son, the eternal Son of God. Behold my servant whom I uphold. And there's a particular reference there to the delivering of the Gentiles. Indeed, this parable in one respect has application here, that those that were bidden, they made one excuse. So did the Jews, the Pharisees, the lawyers, the scribes, the Sadducees. They heard the words of the Lord. They even saw his miracles. But yet, with one consent, began to make excuse. But yet, the poor and the needy, the maimed, go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Yes, and our Lord Jesus Christ did in his earthly ministry in the land of Judea and Galilee. Blind Bartimaeus, those the lepers, the beggars, those who were defiled, even though those who were defiled by sin were cleansed. The woman that was a sinner. A woman caught in the very act of adultery. The Lord had mercy upon. And so the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Indeed, if we read in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, the apostles first brought the gospel unto the Jews. But when many of the rulers and many of the Jews rejected, it was then proclaimed to the Gentiles. As we read in Isaiah, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Again in Isaiah we read, behold my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Here again, a reference to our Lord, Jesus Christ, my servant. God the Father speaking of his dearly beloved Son. And one who should, in this case, we refer to sprinkle many nations. A sprinkling of the water and the blood. That cleansing from sin and all iniquity. Not the blood of bulls or of goats, but his own precious blood. A certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant. His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. That is the wonderful truth of the gospel, that it is all, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished from the cross. All is prepared, all is ready. The Lord Jesus Christ has done all. He has borne all the sins of the church. Indeed, he has fulfilled all righteousness. It is finished, that great debt, all the debts of the church, finished. And none can require payment again. It is finished. And our Lord indeed spoke to his disciples in John's Gospel, just before his crucifixion. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Come, for all things are now ready. There we read of how that blessed news was received. They all with one consent began to make excuse. One said he'd bought a piece of ground and he must go and see it. Another, 5 yoke of oxen. He must go and prove it. Another had married a wife and therefore, well, he didn't even give a reason for not coming other than he got a wife. Worldly minded. They had no need of this great supper. No desire for to be in the house of the Lord. No desire to be with the Lord. Indeed, it is a very searching matter, this. Is our heart wedded to this world? Well, the old man of sin is, the old nature is. Is there a desire, a longing, give me Christ or else I die? Is there a desire to be with Christ which is far better? Is there a desire to know the Lord and his love, to know him more? But it most clearly states in Scripture, friendship of the world is enmity with God. He who is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is, as it were, riches in the form of an idol, that which people bow down to. And here, these with one consent began to make excuse. Their idol was the land, their occupation. In other case, it was the spouse. None of these things are wrong in themselves. But they were being put before the kingdom of God. You cannot serve 2 masters. Either love the one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. And this room that is made, yet there is room. It is the glorious preparation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much it did cost him. I go to prepare a place for you. How much it cost him in bearing the sins of the church, bearing the sins of every true believer. Indeed, as he bore their sins, I shall surely be brought to a saving knowledge of him. For he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Not one shall be lost. And yet there is room, there is that In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. O Lord Jesus Christ, preparing, you went to Gethsemane, went to Calvary, suffered unspeakably, suffered the shame, was rejected of men, even bore that forsaking in sacred humanity by Heavenly Father, God the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Cried from the cross. There was the darkness, the shame, the spitting, the false accusation, the judging, the blasphemy. Indeed, they even accused him of blaspheming, although his words were the words of eternal life. And suffered most cruelly, most indescribable pain. But yet, not only in his body, but in his sacred human soul. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Indeed, that preparing of the room, how our Lord Jesus Christ showed forth his love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Lay down his life a sacrifice for sin. But he rose again. Because I live, ye shall live also. And he's ascended into heaven. Is now exalted, glorified at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So this room, that is prepared, it is not a heavenly, it's not an earthly kingdom. We don't preach, like the manner of some, a health and wealth so-called gospel. Of health and wealth in this world. The Lord's blessings are measured by how big a house and a car and a job. How big the bank balance. That is not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we speak of an altogether different place. Those treasures in heaven. Yet there is room. This is the kingdom of God. That eternal kingdom where we shall be after death, or if we be alive when the Lord comes. Where we shall pass from this time to eternity. And we read that those who made an excuse, their hearts were wedded to the things of this world. Their thoughts were here below. And they made excuse. Oh, my beloved friends, may it not be so with any of us here. That when we hear the word of the Lord and hear of the great supper, and that so great a work has been done by our Lord Jesus Christ, that we should with one consent make excuse. That we should be numbered amongst those saying, I can't come, I've married a wife. I can't come, I've bought some land. I've got a yoke of oxen, I must go to prove them. Or whatever modern day possession or material thing it is. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. There was a righteous indignation on account of those that with one excuse began to make, one consent began to make excuse. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." The servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Well, we read here that those who are partakers of this blessed room, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, where have they been inhabiting the highways and the hedges, as it were, by the roadside? We don't see that really very much, thankfully, in our day. I was in India recently and travelling at night time. Sadly, it was far too common a scene to see people under a blanket literally by the roadside. And people living in the most awful squalor. At the same time, driving on a 3-lane motorway and seeing all the rich people. The Lord said unto his servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Or taking the spiritual application, it's not those who consider themselves to possess much. The self-righteous, self-important, the proud. Indeed, it is to the out of the way, those that seem to be in a hopeless case, abandoned, dejected, friendless, who consider some of these that, to whom is said, "And yet there is room." Well, the highways and the hedges, those by the roadside, perhaps covered in sores, diseased, hungry, thirsty, no one caring for their soul, abandoned. Perhaps those things that have been done in their lives that are terrible, self-procured. Go into the highways and the hedges, as the poor, they're nothing. The maimed, the halt, the blind. Those who, according to the law, not to come into the congregation. Defiled, utterly unable, unworthy, but yet the master sent, the Lord sent forth his servant to compel them to come. The Lord Jesus Christ, servant, a glorious servant. Then in prophecy, "I delight to do thy will, O my Lord." He came to this sin-cursed earth that he may deliver, save, redeemed his beloved church. Indeed, by his grace, the vilest, the poor, the maimed, the halt, that is, people who can't walk properly, the blind, those that are, as it were, left in the highways and the hedges. Nowhere to go. Indeed, the gospel is for such. There's good news, and yet there is room. To whom else? Who else can we go? We believe that thou art the Son of God. Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom else can we go? But yet there is room. Indeed, There is room for the vilest sinner, saved by grace. For the worst rebel, the most out of the way person. And what a mercy that is. Let us come to explain a little. We have another parable which is often confounded with this one. It is a similar parable, again speaking of the kingdom of heaven. We find that in Matthew 22, in the parable of the marriage of the king's son. And again, we read of many that were here bidden. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. The remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Again, those that came, they were found in the highways and the byways. But there's some very important distinctions here. In Luke chapter 14, we read, the Lord said unto his servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. Some have said, well, the minister should compel the people to come. But let us look most carefully at Holy Scripture here, because it says, the servant, singular. Many have made great error by trying to compel people to come, whether in the flesh, whether by force of arms, a gun, a sword, trickery, all manner of things. But let us remember that when the Lord said unto the servant, go and compel them, this is referring to the servant Christ. Has all power. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. But all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Oh, indeed, the Lord should compel us to come. There's that necessity. There's that, it may be, and so often it is, bring into trouble, into great want, as it were, find ourselves out in the highways and the hedges, or in great distress, or sickness, or loss, would bring us, well, like the prodigal son, when he came into want. Then he thought of his father's house and came back in sorrow, in repentance, saying that he was not worthy. But indeed he was most graciously received there by his father. Truly there was room for one who came back in sorrow over his sins. Truly there was room. Indeed, it was the hand of God, indeed, as it were, compelling him to come. And indeed, if we see the heinous nature of our sins, the goodness of God, the reality of the judgment to come, and indeed that drawing that we might not even understand, but there's that cry within, give me Christ or else I die. There indeed, by God's love and mercy, through the precious work of Christ, there is a compelling. Now, it is true, the ministry is to declare and to preach earnestly, faithfully, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't compel you to come into the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, it is dishonouring to the Lord for the minister to pretend, to claim that he can. As we look at this parable in Matthew 22, some people have claimed that it must be the same story that people have perhaps not quite recalled correctly and has been written down by one Luke and another Matthew. But no. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is the word of God. It is pure and holy. Incorrupt, not in any way corrupted or no error. Inerrant, infallible. People who would rush to condemn the scriptures and to try and find the contradiction looked more carefully, they would see that the parable as spoken in Luke chapter 14 is given at a different time. The Lord at that time had not come to Jerusalem to suffer. It's at some period prior to that, whereas the parable in Matthew 22 was within perhaps only a day or two of his crucifixion. In Matthew 22, a certain king made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants, plural. These are the prophets, and in the Old Testament, the prophets. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, etc. And they made light of it, they went their ways. We read of others who were, the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And indeed, the unbelieving, self-righteous Jews so treated the prophets. Indeed, they treated he who is the prophet, priest and king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Indeed, it came to pass with Jerusalem. Only a generation after our Lord's crucifixion. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. The servants, the ministers of the gospel, are to bid to come. But in Luke chapter 14, the servant compels by his power, his grace, his majesty. None can, concerning the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar said, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So we see here, there's the sovereignty of God. Whom he will have mercy, I will have mercy upon whom he'll have mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. But yet there is this word, and yet there is room. Indeed, that speaks an invitation. For in Romans we read of that glorious sovereignty of God in salvation. that salvation is of the Lord. We also read in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a glorious and divine balance. There is a setting forth of the sovereignty of God in predestination and election. Yeah, there's the invitation, the encouragement that the word is to the poor and the needy. And woe unto any, and some have tried to say there's only a certain number that can be saved. Some have tried to wrench scripture out of context and say it's only 144,000 can be saved, and so on. But their folly is immense. But here it says, and yet there is room. At times the Lord's people are greatly tempted. Satan will tempt and say, well, this or that person has been blessed. They received the blessing, and the blessing has passed by you. Let us remember the word here, and yet there is room. It's not for us to judge whether heaven is filled or not. The Lord says, and yet there is room. It's not for us to judge and to say that this or that person has been blessed and has come forward and been baptized and professed, and they were the ones who received the blessing, and it's not for me. Well, let us not listen to the devil, but rather the word of God, and yet there is room. For the poor, the needy, the halt, the blind, those that beg by the way, those that know that compelling power within, give me Christ or else I die. And those like the thirsty. Now we read in those blessed words in Isaiah. Okay, we come back to Isaiah 55. Though everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. O every one that thirsteth, come. Come ye to the waters. Come, for all things are now ready. Indeed, we may safely conclude that the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind, they have shown such kindness and such goodness. They were given a welcome. Indeed, how great a joy it is when we feel, as it were, that welcome of our Lord. So unworthy of it. It's all because of his grace and his mercy. That we should be welcome, we should be received. Indeed, who is it whom the Lord looks upon, as it were, in mercy and in grace? To this man will I look, he that is poor and a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Those that are poor have not got lots of attainments to boast themselves. We leave aside things in this world and qualifications that we have need of and so on, but we're talking here in terms of before God, not before man. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We cannot bring anything to commend ourselves, poor and needy. That's how we must come. This is for whom there is room. This man will I look, he that is poor and a contrite spirit, sorrowful. Not sorrowing because he can't go and plough with his oxen or go and see the land that he's bought, but sorrowing over their sins. sorrowing over those things in which they've offended against God's word and God's law. And because God is so good, yet they have been so bad. But yet, rejoicing that the Lord has shown such mercy and grace. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The servant has done all that has been commanded. And we see that with our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done all. Fulfilled all righteousness. Fulfilled all those things that we've failed to do, or things that we've done, but we've done them wrongly. And through his obedience, there is wrought righteousness. And that righteousness is imputed. That, as it were, put on. It's like one who is holy has woven that glorious robe that they did not have need of themselves, and have given it to clothe a poor beggar, one who has nothing. There's the righteousness of Christ brought out in his sacred humanity, body and soul, that we should be clothed upon. Indeed, the Lord eternally righteous, but in the same nature as our own, he obeyed the holy law of God and wrought out that robe that we could be clothed. We who are naked, poor, maimed, defiled, and he shed his precious blood that our sins should be washed away. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Indeed, here is truly good news, that there is room. Room for the poor and the needy, for the downcast, the sorrowful. May we be given that grace to come. To come unto Jesus, like we read of one who was a publican, one who was a tax gatherer. No doubt he was rich in some material things, but he saw the rottenness of that, that really he was destitute. Or he could cry out, was God be merciful to me, a sinner. But that man went to his house justified. Truly, there was room for such. Or blind Bartimaeus, who cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Lord received him. That woman caught, that woman who was a sinner. In other words, the context of life was that it was a notorious, scandalous life, known to all around. But she came weeping at the feet of Jesus, and the Lord pronounced the forgiveness of her sins. Truly, there was room there. May the Lord give us that holy, humble, yet zealous desire. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, the violent take it by force. That pressing forward in prayer. For yet there is room. Ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. May the Lord grant that grace, true grace of seeking. And indeed, as if the Lord speaks in the Holy Scriptures, ye received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. And may we thus press forward, for there's that prepared place that our Lord Jesus Christ has prepared. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £745, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday School this afternoon, and Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock, and Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. There will be a chapel trustee meeting on Monday at 7 o'clock. An Oakington Hope to hold a meeting for the Trinitarian Bible Society on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. 303.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.